Next case is Village League to Save Incline versus the State Board of Equalization, 56030. Ms. Fullstone, are you ready to proceed?
Thank you, Chief Justice. For the record, my name is Sue Ellen Fullstone. I represent the taxpayer appellants in this matter, which was initially commenced in 2004 to compel the State Board of Equalization to perform its statewide duty of equalization, its affirmative duty of statewide equalization. Notwithstanding the fact that this court itself has stated that that duty is clear, notwithstanding the fact that the failure of the State Board to perform that duty is indisputed and indisputable, we are now back here a second time with a second denial and dismissal of this claim by the district court.
Ms. Fullstone, is it an admitted fact that the State Board of Equalization failed to equalize for the 2003-2004 tax year on a statewide basis?
Justice Hardesty, you put that question very precisely, and I know you do that intentionally. Is it an admitted fact? Do we have a stipulated set of facts here? No. I think, as I said, it's an indisputable fact. If you go back into the record, the State Board of Equalization itself, as this court characterized it when it wrote the decision in Varda, when Judge Griffin sent it back to the State Board of Equalization to say how it had performed equalization, it was unable to do that. It basically asked for help from taxpayers in figuring out how to do that.
Short of a stipulation, where in this record does it reflect that the State Board of Equalization failed to fulfill its statutory mandate to equalize for the 2003-2004 tax year?
If I recall correctly, and I brought the record with me, I can check it while counsel for the other side is arguing, but we provided the district court here with copies of the transcript of the State Board of Equalization hearings where they were asked to explain to the district court how they equalized and were unable to do that, so that's in this record. I don't think the State Board of Equalization itself has ever claimed that it equalized for the 2003-2004 tax year.
I'll ask your opponents, and without taking your time during argument, maybe after argument, you could give the clerk some page references to the record that you would point to.
I'll do that. I would also point out that it would be improbable for the State Board of Equalization to have equalized for the 2003-2004 tax year. One, it's a public body. It has to act in public meetings. There's no public meeting where it did.
Is that in this record?
That is in this record, yes.
Okay. Assuming for the moment that they did not perform their statutory obligations to equalize for the 2003-2004 tax year, then articulate for me the remedies you sought in your writ before the district court.
Well, we sought a series of remedies. We sought enforcement of the State Board of Equalization's duty of equalization. We specifically sought equalization within Washoe County based on this court's decisions in Basque and Barda and the mass appraisal techniques of the Washoe County Assessor's Office. We also sought equalization between Washoe County and Douglas County for properties in the Lake Tahoe area. Again, another documented lack of equalization based on the Tahoe study done by the Department of Taxation. Rather, you know, I mean, we
does this writ seek monetary relief for your clients in the form of tax refunds for the failure of the board to have equalized? And if so, where in the statutes or any case law is such a remedy afforded to your client at this stage?
You know, I think that yes, you know, we sought refunds, refunds as the natural consequence of what we as taxpayers, or my clients as taxpayers, believe to be the inevitable result of the State Board's performance of its duty, would be to reduce assessments, valuations of residential property at Incline Village. And
other than your argument that it would be the byproduct of inevitable results, is there any case law or statutory remedy on which to which you can point that would afford your clients tax refunds as a result of the State Board being ordered to perform its statutory duties to equalize?
The taxing agencies are only authorized to impose taxes on constitutionally assessed valuations. They require to refund excess taxes collected. So I think to the extent that the taxing, the tax property tax statutes in NRS Chapter 361, you know, limit the right of recovery and provide for refunds, they would, those statutes apply to the consequences of equalization. I mean, equalization has no purpose if it doesn't adjust assessment values, and whether those adjustments result in increased assessments or decreased assessments, they have to follow adjustments with some sort of monetary consequence. Otherwise, it's an exercise in futility. I mean, the statutes aren't designed to be futile. The requirement for statewide equalization is imposed to satisfy the constitutional requirement. Once adjustments are made, then the monetary consequences follow, because they must. I mean, what would be the point of reducing assessments and then not returning to taxpayers the taxes, the excess taxes collected on unconstitutional assessments?
Your argument presupposes an outcome when the board meets.
It presupposes an outcome only in the sense that every complaint presupposes an outcome. You know, I mean, if I sue for trespass or sue for personal injury, I mean, I am assuming that I'm entitled to a recovery based on what I believe to be the facts. I believe that that taxpayers are entitled to statewide equalization for 2003-2004, that if and when the State Board is ordered to do that, that the result will be downward adjustments for the taxpayers at Incline Village and Crystal Bay, and the consequence of downward adjustments will be the return to taxpayers of excess taxes collected by the county. Now, yeah, it presupposes an outcome. It doesn't in any sense control what the State Board does, but it does, as every complaint, presuppose an outcome. You know, one of the things, the issues that the court specifically asked counsel to be prepared to address was this notion of, is the prayer part of the cause of action? I think that the rules of civil procedure adopted by this court, as well as this court's case law, make it clear that the prayer for relief is not part of the cause of action. Rule 8 of the Rules of Civil Procedure specifically separates the claim from the prayer for relief. Rule 54 specifically provides that a party is entitled, except for the default situation, a party is entitled to the relief they're entitled to without regard to the prayer. Back in Keys versus Nevada Gas Company, 38 P. Second, 661, again, the complaint is not part of, the prayer for relief forms no part of the cause of action. That was before the civil rules of civil procedure were adopted. In Midwest Supply v. Waters, which is cited in the briefs, a case that came afterwards, the same holding. The prayer for relief is not part of the cause of action. When the court here, two of the three grounds the court gave for dismissing our complaint was that we asked for the wrong relief. Asking for the wrong relief is not grounds for dismissing a complaint. Partly because, you know, I would disagree that we asked for the wrong relief, but even if we did ask for the wrong relief, that's not appropriate grounds for dismissal, because we asked for whatever, in addition to specific relief, we asked for whatever relief we would be entitled to under the law. And to the extent that the duty of the State Board is clear, and the right of taxpayers is clear, we're entitled to statewide equalization. Which leaves the court with one grounds for dismissal, which is its finding that there was an adequate remedy at law in the newly enacted regulations for equalization. I think it's not too oversimplified to say that that makes no sense at all. This action was brought in 2004 for the 2003-04 tax year. Regulations adopted in 2009 to become effective in 2010 had no application in the year 2003-2004. First of all, they wouldn't even affect at the time the court entered its order. Moreover, the regulations as drafted, and they are a part of the record, don't provide any relief to the individual taxpayer. The regulations as drafted and approved by the State Board make us parties to the equalization proceeding, the county assessor, the State Board, the department, and so on, but they provide, the only role for the taxpayer is as a witness, and only after there's been a determination already that there's a lack of equalization. Taxpayer can't invoke the proceeding, can't do anything. It isn't even a party of record for purposes of a contested case in terms of seeking review. I would argue that if in fact those regulations provide a remedy, then what the court should have done is sent the matter back to the State Board and told it to apply those regulations to the 2003-04 tax year. Certainly taxpayers had no way of requiring the State Board to do that. The regulations themselves are strictly prospective. They were to go into effect only, for the following year after their enactment. So all of the law on what is an available and adequate remedy at law is put on its head with the notion that a remedy that is neither available nor adequate satisfies the standard. With that, I'm going to reserve the rest of my time.
Thank you, Ms. Folston. Mr. Creekman.
May it please the court. My name is David Creekman. I'm with the Washoe County District Attorney's Office. I represent the Washoe County respondents in the matter before the court today. With me today is Deputy Attorney General Dion Contine. She represents the State of Nevada respondents before the court today, and I'd like to advise you in advance that the State of Nevada has yielded its time to Washoe County for the purposes of oral arguments. But I'd also like to advise you that to the extent you have particularized detailed questions with respect to the operations of the State Board or the State of Nevada Department of Taxation, I'm going to yield back to Ms. Conteen to answer those questions, in that I represent the State of Nevada or its constituent agencies.
And I assume, based on that statement, Mr. Creekman, you're not in a position to answer my question that I posed at the commencement of argument by Ms. Fullstone.
No, Your Honor. Actually, I am in a position to answer that question, having thoroughly reviewed the record. And in response to your question, it's not an admitted fact that the State Board failed to equalize in 2003. That nowhere in the record is it apparent that there was that failure. The record is significant in, and sometimes it's interesting in these appellate arguments, the significance of the record is often found in what the record doesn't contain. And it contains no indication that the State Board failed in that regard.
Well, was there any indication in the record that the State Board did, in fact, hold an equalization hearing?
No, there wasn't.
Silent in that regard as well.
Yes, it was, Your Honor. But the reason for that is because this case hasn't moved beyond the procedural aspects.
Well, then doesn't it go to figure that no hearing was ever held?
Not necessarily. I don't believe, Your Honor, that you can come to that conclusion based on the non-appearance in the record of any indication that a hearing was held.
But they've claimed there was no hearing held, and as far as I can see, you haven't rebutted that with an affirmative statement that, yeah, there was a hearing held.
And that's the simple question. To me, it's like falling down into the Alice in Wonderland trap. I mean, either there has been or there hasn't been, to me.
Your Honor, I don't know that a hearing is obligatory or was obligatory back in the year 2003 for equalization purposes. The statute in question simply requires the State Board to equalize. It also,
therefore, you can acknowledge that, in fact, no hearing has been convened.
No, I can't acknowledge that no hearing was convened. I can acknowledge, however, that the State Board, in reviewing the assessment rolls provided by the county assessors and as corrected by the county boards of equalization, corrected by the assessor and corrected by the state tax commission, had an opportunity to equalize property values. There is no need to equalize if it hasn't been found that there is disequilibrium in the values. And I think it's important here to recognize,
Council,
yes, Your Honor,
and within that statement you just made, did anyone on the record bother to state that they had reviewed the taxes and came to a conclusion as to equalizing, not equalizing? Did they do an affirmative act at any time?
Yes, they did, Your Honor.
And what did they do?
They did affirmative equalization in the context of legal remedies which were available to aggrieved taxpayers to invoke the jurisdiction first of the county board, then of the state board, with respect to disparate property valuations between counties and within a county.
Did the board ever make a specific finding that they had reviewed the status between the counties or property owners in general?
Or the formula used to...
or are you just saying that unless someone appealed, they did nothing?
No, I'm not saying that unless someone appeals, they did nothing. I'm saying that the State Board's function is to review these appeals as they come from the County Board. That necessarily includes an analysis of the equalization function. Necessarily includes it. But there is nothing in the record, in this particular record, that establishes the extent or the number of the cases that the State Board back in the year 2003 viewed in this area.
But in any event, as an officer of the court, your argument here in response to my question is that the State Board of Equalization, and I'm going to ask your co-counsel to make the same commitment, satisfied the requirements in NRS that the State Board of Equalization performed its duties to equalize for the 2003-2004 tax year.
Yes, Your Honor, I believe that the State Board of Equalization performed that duty.
Is that right, Ms. Conti?
Good morning, Dion Contine for the record on behalf of the State Board. I think there's the functions, the statutory functions, and there that well, Mr. Creekman is talking about.
I understand from Mr. Creekman's statement that there is a dispute about whether the State Board performed its functions. I simply want to know from you as an officer of the court, do you maintain that the State Board fulfilled its statutory duties to equalize for 2003-2004?
I think that at the time it believed it did. I think there is some, you know, 9 years of history and what and case law that has come before is that the 361-395 equalization it is encompassed in the remedies that Mr. Creekman is talking about.
In any event,
so I think that there was not zero equalization in that year. To the extent that there is a specific regulations now that provide a separate process, those regulations obviously weren't in effect at that time.
That's not my point. They clearly weren't in effect at that time.
My question is
whether you as counsel to the board are in a position as an officer of the court to tell us that I can make an argument that the State Board fulfilled its statutorily obligated duties to equalize for the 2003-2004 tax year.
I think it did.
Okay, that's all I'm asking. The point being that one of the issues in this appeal is whether or not the district court should have dismissed the writ petition that challenges that fact. And I guess Mr. Creekman's argument was about to be, well, we aren't to that stage yet. There's been no discovery to examine that. Is that right?
Well, I think that procedurally where we are is there was a complaint filed, a motion to dismiss, the remand on the sole issue of equalization, a request by the appellants in this case for a specific outcome. So I guess if there is some...
Well, setting aside the appellant's request for a specific refund outcome,
right.
Why shouldn't the district court have entertained their writ, which questions whether the State Board fulfilled its statutory duties or not?
Your Honor, I think I'll take over here. The court, in its order of remand, asked the district court to determine if the petitioner's petition for mandamus was viable or not. Judge Flanagan did precisely that, and he concluded on three bases that it was not viable. There was a plain, speedy, and adequate remedy at law, the Village League was impermissibly seeking a predetermined result, and they were seeking a judicial remedy that doesn't exist under Nevada's taxable value system. Although each of us may have handled the analytical, if we were the assinees of that responsibility to determine the viability of the claim, although each of us might have handled the analytical process differently, the case law is clear. To the extent the judge came to the correct result, it doesn't matter what road he traveled to reach that destination. I submit to you that Judge Flanagan's decision can be upheld on any of the three bases on which he made it. The legal remedies have the Supreme Court, this court has done an outstanding job in all the Incline Village litigation at chronicling the wide range of available legal remedies available to a taxpayer aggrieved by his or her assessed valuation. I hesitate to get back into those. You've done a great job of it, and I think everybody is pretty familiar with that laundry list of legal remedies. In response to yet another one of Justice Hardesty's questions, though, which went directly to the question of refund availability, I contend that refund availability is not available to these taxpayers unless they availed themselves of 361.420's payment.
Well, it may not be, but let's take up the fundamental question, and it's a simple one.
Yes, sir.
Forgetting all of the history of the litigation here, let's assume for the moment that the State Board of Equalization, as maintained by petitioners, did not perform an equalization function for this tax year. Why can't they go to a district court and seek writ relief compelling the state board to perform a statutory and constitutionally mandated function that they maintain it did not perform?
Because, Your Honor, the simple availability of other legal remedies bars this mandamus action. Other legal remedies which were at one time available to these taxpayers.
Which one would that be?
It starts with 355, discrepancies in valuation as between counties, moves to 356, inequities within your own county. Then from there we move to 360, which provides an opportunity for the state board review of a county board's failure to equalize. 400, appeals to the state board. 410, an opportunity for judicial review of a final state board action. All of this coupled with the existence of yet another statute that's received very little attention, 361.333, which deals with what are called ratio studies. Ratio studies are statistical analyses performed by the statisticians and the accountants within the Nevada Department of Taxation to assure that Nevada's constitutional mandate is met for a uniform and equal rate of assessment and taxation. That is what the Constitution requires at Article 10, Section 1. The legislature picked up on that and adopted NRS 361.225 and applied across the board, across every county of this state, a rate of assessment of 35% of taxable value. The ratio studies, which had been undertaken consistently since the statute was enacted in 1967, examined the assessor accuracy in determining if the ratio of assessed value to taxable value falls within the statutory standard. Under this procedure, Washoe County was examined in 2005, and Washoe County's ratios fell within the permissible statutory standard. Douglas County was examined in 2004 with their major classes of property values similarly falling within the statutory standard. That fact is set out in the record in the Joint Appendix, Volume 1, pages 128, 168 to 174. Your Honor, equalization has occurred. For the 2003 and subsequent tax years. I point also to the fact, and I am well aware, that the title of a statute is not controlling as to its interpretation, you know, the title that's placed into the books by the reviser of the statutes. But the intro title to 333 is equalization between counties. Disregard that. Go to the legislative history, to the bill from which that statute originated, and the title of the bill includes the provision, a provision relating to equalization between counties. It's precisely that procedure that the legislature intended the Department of Taxation to follow in doing the day-to-day legwork of equalization in the state of Nevada, and it's that ratio study procedure that the new regulations of the State Board of Equalization adopts as part of the panoply of information that the State Board, at least in the future, will be considering in determining if equalization has occurred between counties under its authority under 361.395 to equalize.
So what is the remedy for an individual taxpayer under 361.333 to contest or raise a claim that there has been a failure of inter-county equalization?
The remedy is set forth in the new regulations, Your Honor.
No, I'm talking about prior to the new regulations.
I'm not entirely sure that there was a remedy for an individual taxpayer to invoke any protections that might have been available under 333. That's because 333 is essentially a procedural statute that governs the procedure of the state agencies.
That was the point of my question. If one assumes that there were no regulations in place to address this concern, where is the statutory framework for a taxpayer to contest an allegation or make an allegation to the district court? There's been a failure of inter-county equalization as maintained here. Why can't the court entertain writ relief on such a request?
Because, Your Honor, the existence of this entire panoply of other legal remedies, which we've just gone through, because of the particularized relief petitioners are seeking.
The tax refund relief.
And let's look at equalization, if we may. May I take another short period of time?
Give you a minute.
Okay. Let's look at equalization. The possible results of an equalization action are no action, because there's no equalization problem, or one individual's property value is raised, or another is lowered. In this case, especially as between Washoe and Douglas County, Douglas County is not a party here. That tells me that these people were eliminating from the realm of Judge Flanagan's possibility any possible consideration that values were equal, or any possible consideration that Douglas County's values, in fact, were too low and should have been raised. That works an extreme unfairness on Washoe County, and that served as the purpose, or one of the purposes, for Judge Flanagan's decision to deny the writ petition as being non-viable. The petitioners essentially worked or attempted to work Judge Flanagan into a box and then the state board into a box with no choice but to conclude that Washoe County's values were too high.
Well, if he had ordered the state board to equalize, it would seem that all bets are on. And if he concluded, if the state board in that process equalized, it might very well have resulted in a raising of all of Incline Village's property taxes. They may have gotten what they asked for.
It could have, Your Honor, although I doubt that the discrepancy was such between Incline and Douglas that...
We just don't know, do we?
We just don't know. That's correct. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Creekman. Ms. Fullstone.
Thank you. Start by responding to Mr. Creekman's argument that there are alternative remedies under the statute. There are no alternative remedies under the statute. The taxpayer is not required to pursue some individual remedy in order to excuse the State Board of Equalization from its affirmative statutory duty of statewide equalization. The remedies, for instance, in 355 and 360 and 356, you know, those are, yes, the a taxpayer can go, for instance, a taxpayer in Washoe County can go to the County Board of Equalization in Douglas County and say it's undervaluing property. Nobody's going to do that, but they could do that. But that doesn't make any, you know, even if they did that, they can't go down and say they're overvaluing. They can only go down and say they're undervaluing. I'm not sure anybody's ever done that. But in any event, it doesn't substitute for what is a clear and statutory obligation of the State Board of Equalization to affect statewide equalization. To the extent that council have both said, we think that the State Board did or thought it did equalization in some way in 2003-04, I would ask that this court send this case back to the district court and let them show us that, because I can show you that they did not, and I'm happy to do that. With respect to Douglas County, what we told the district court was, if you want to add Douglas County, add Douglas County. We don't mind bringing Douglas County in. We don't think Douglas County comes in until before the State Board of Equalization, because the court isn't here to equalize. The court is here simply to enter an order compelling the State Board to equalize. But, you know, we weren't opposed to adding Douglas County if the Corps wanted to add Douglas County. I also want to talk briefly about ratio studies, and hopefully I can
get a
few seconds to do that.
I'm going to add another minute to your time as well.
Thank you. The ratio study statute, which is 361-333, was enacted in 1967 when Nevada was a market value state. Ratio studies are a statistical device developed in market value jurisdictions where as a quality control check on the assessor. What they do is they take actual sales of property in the jurisdiction and match those with the assessor's market value estimates and say, well, okay, this property sold for $200,000, the assessor had it valued at $300,000, the assessor's off. Or the assessor had it valued at $195,000, assessor's, you know, pretty close, you know, assessor's, you know, using the right methods, doing the right kind of job. When you go to a non-market value, you know, when the tax shift came in 1981 and the state moved to taxable value, the legislature simply inserted taxable value in the 333 statute, which it doesn't really apply to. You know, there are ways of making ratio studies work in a taxable value jurisdiction, but I, you know, if you send this case back to the district court, because I've looked at their ratio studies, at the time of this particular time in 2003-04, where Russell County was on a five-year rotation, and again, when 333 was initially enacted, it was every year, every county. That changed over the years to every county once every 3 years. So they were doing, in 2003, they were doing a third of the counties every year with ratio studies. And out of those ratio studies, when it was a county like Washoe, where they only did a part of the county at a five-year basis, they would only do that one part. So an area like Incline Village, ratio studies were performed only once every 15 years. Which is no way to determine equalization. You can't do an annual duty of statewide equalization by doing it every 3 years anyway. And what, in fact, once they moved off the market value system, what happened is that the people who did ratio studies looked at what the counties had and as their values and simply looked at whether that was a reasonable value or not and adopted the same value. So if we go back to the district court here, I'll bring in those ratio studies and demonstrate that what they were doing in those years was simply matching in the Department of Taxation the values that were in the counties that were determined by assessors. The Department of Taxation doesn't work like the State Board of Equalization, don't work like the Public Service Commission.
There's no consumer advocacy. So, Ms. Wolstone, your concluding thoughts are?
All right. I would reiterate very briefly. The statute's clear. The duty of the state board is clear. The right of the taxpayers is clear. And this case should be returned to the district court with a mandate that the court enter, or at least the court hold further hearings to determine whether the state board in fact equalized in 2003-04. Thank you
very much, Ms. Wolstone. To all parties, thank you for your arguments here today and your submissions. This case will be submitted. We will be in a very short